This is a Scoop Audio interview. We're talking with Ronald Wright, the author of A Short History of Progress and a bunch of other books, actually. He's in New Zealand for the Writers and Readers Week. Hello, Ronald.
Hello.
Now, the A Short History of Progress is based on your 2004 Massey lectures, which, listening to them, it was something of a litany of civilizations that have destroyed themselves. Is that a fair description?
Yes, I sort of, I mean, of course, it's really like all books about the past, it's really about the present, and I see it as a police profile of a repeat offender by the name of Homo sapiens. You know, we just keep making the same mistakes, and to put it very simply, because we now have one big, huge civilization that covers the world, we can't afford to make any more mistakes. You know, in the past, if the Maya or the Romans or the East Islanders went down, that was localized. But now, really, it's the last throw of the dice for this experiment called civilization.
Yeah, it was, I think what stuck with me, it may have just been what I heard, was the ancient Middle East pretty much washing everything into the Gulf over time, and, you know, that didn't used to be a desert over there.
Well, the biggest problem there was, this was the Sumerians, the first full-blown civilization in the world, in what is now southern Iraq. And yeah, there were huge erosion problems and things caused by deforestation, but the biggest thing that got them was salting up of the land, because their irrigation practices, which is something they could not have known in advance. Nobody else had done large-scale irrigation before, and it's what I call a progress trap. It was something that started off as a really good idea, enabled them to expand their farmland, raise the population, build their cities, and raise huge armies and fight each other. And then, but over the centuries, the land became saltier and saltier because of the irrigation and the hot sun. And eventually, they ruined their land and in effect, created the desert that you see around those mud brick ruins.
I suppose I was just thinking that I've seen arguments around what you seem to be talking about, and also I think Jared Diamond's book Collapse, that somehow we're not like that anymore, whether we would know better or whether
Well, I don't think Jared Diamond's Collapse, by the way, does have a very similar subject, and he covers two of the same civilizations I do, but I would point out that my book came out before his, only slightly before. I mean, I'm not suggesting any influence or anything, but of the two, this mine was the first in Canada, though not, of course, everywhere. And I think he's also saying that, you know, it's possible to avoid disaster, but you have to make the right choices, and that's the conclusion I also come to. I feel it's very late to make those choices, and I think our only chance is to realize that we do have this tendency, because of the way human beings essentially evolved as ice age hunters. We have a very short-term kind of intelligence. We're extremely good at solving the immediate problems. We're very ingenious and clever, but we're very bad about making long-range, wise decisions. And so we tend to sort of eat the seed corn or kill off the last mammoth or, you know, just rob the future to pay the present.
Yeah. Are you optimistic about that?
Well, as I say, I think we can make the right choices. The question is, how are we going to do it? And I see the problem as essentially political and economic. You know, we're locked into an economic system that is based on the idea of endless growth, and the only way you can sort of stop the impoverished people in the world, which is, you know, about half the world's population, from beating down the doors of the wealthier parts of the world, is the promise that the economy is always going to expand, and so sort of they will get theirs eventually, if they will only be patient. patient. Well, I think that that is the big lie of our times. There's just no way this planet can support 6 or 7 billion people living anything like a first world lifestyle, and the wealthy countries are in fact seizing all the good stuff. The gulf between the rich and the poor has expanded enormously, both between countries and within countries in the past, say, 50 years. That's the economic problem, and the political problem, of course, is similar to that. It's essentially entrenched elites saying that the system that's here is fine. You have the most powerful country in the world enthralled to what Eisenhower, who was a Republican president, called the military-industrial complex, and Eisenhower's warning about how that military-industrial complex that evolved during the two world wars, and in fact began with the American Civil War even before that, how that would make political demands that would undermine American democracy, and I think that's very clear today.
Well, you've written a range of things, novels and histories and essays, and done rather well. But what's in the pipeline next?
What's coming next?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's too early to tell you anything about it. I'm just starting something, but, you know, it's at that sort of amorphous stage where I would be, you know, nothing I told you really would be worth hearing. It'll be another book. But it'll take a year or two.
Okay. Well, I think we can leave it there. Ronald Wright, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the Writers and Readers Week. Thanks for talking to Scoop.
Thank you.